As you may know, Reverend Sam, Lynn Ashley in Glens Falls, and I decided to do a three-way pulpit swap this year. And then we decided to all preach on the same theme, and the one chosen was journey, as in how we see our lives as a journey, not just traveling from point A to point B, but to look at all those twists and turns, what we control and what we don't. And we knew that with such a broad theme, that we would each pretty much preach differently. I chose to approach this theme of journey through the lens of spiritual geography, or how our outer journey in the natural world, how the topography of our physical living and journey mirror and reflect our inner journey, our spiritual lives, our inner landscape, if you will. We use lots of these metaphors to describe parts of life. We talk about the mountains we need to climb to reach a certain goal or a level of success. When things are really bad, we speak of the valley of despair. A common dream metaphor for feeling overwhelmed is wild ocean waves and floods. I've had those dreams before. On the other hand, the ocean can be amazingly soothing to many, with the rhythm of tides and waves and the seemingly limitlessness of the ocean. When our lives feel dry and devoid of feeling or empty, we say it's like we're in the desert. And there are many topographic metaphors that we use. For instance, when our lives are chaotic, it feels like a noisy, clamorous city. So when we speak of an ideal place, it's a place that resonates deep within us. It might be a forest path, a tropical beach, a burbling stream, or a flowing river. Fill in the blanks with your ideal space. Spiritual geography means a lot to me personally, as I grew up in a home where geography was something that we paid attention to. My father loved to plan road trips, and he'd lay the maps out on the dining room table and show my brother and me where we would be going, how we would get there, the rivers that we'd cross, the features that we'd see. And as we were traveling, the topography of the land we covered was as important as anything else. It's little wonder that I have traveled in all 50 states by car, plus Canada and Mexico. And I love a good road trip. I don't think there's a bad road trip out there. My brother, he's a fellow with the National Geographic Society, and he also loves a good road trip. What do you need to connect the outer world with your inner life? Do you find it in the natural world, where the landscape and geography mirror the landscape and geography of your soul or your inner self? A few years ago, the Unitarian Universalist Commission on Appraisal studied what we believe in common. The answer was, not much. But the theological strand that we most agree upon is that of natural theology, that the holy can be found in the rhythms and seasons and the breadth and depth of the natural world. So, in order to really know our deepest selves, how do we relate to the outer world around us? How do we travel? And I don't mean what form of transportation do you use. How do we travel through life? Where are the mountains? When were you in a desert time? Where in this vast and wondrous world do you feel most at home, where you can feel your molecules relaxing, that sense of deep peace? Are there places where you always feel anxious or fearful? And can you connect the dots between the physical places and those times in your life when you felt most peaceful or most anxious? In connecting those dots, I always remember this from Frederick Buechner, a 20th century theologian. He said, "If you want to know who you are, watch your feet, for where your feet take you, that is who you really are." This may sound like keen insight into the obvious, but it means being aware of where we're going each moment. It takes mindfulness. And it also means that we cut through our denial and see our journey as it really is, as opposed to what we'd like it to be. Many years ago, I gave a sermon in a neighboring church in Tennessee about this quote from Frederick Buechner. It was a very different sermon from this. It was about watching our feet, showing us who we are. And a woman came up to me afterwards and said that she did not like this. She didn't agree with it. So I said, "Tell me more." She said, "It's not true that where we go tells us where we are." She said, "I go out for donuts some days, but that's not really me." Okay. So to see who you really are on the journey, using our metaphors of spiritual geography, when you're climbing a mountain, when you're trudging up that steep path, the fact that you have a beautiful house and all the measures of success are not going to get you up that hill any easier. Knowing 1,000 interesting factoids about the composition of Mars is not going to ease your way. Nor is having the gift of gab that enables you to sell ice to Eskimos. Getting up that mountain shows your true grit, shows who you really are in plodding along when your only goal is to reach that summit and your lungs are burning, your calves ache along with most of the rest of your muscles, and a part of you wishes you were anywhere else but climbing that mountain. And then there's this. Spiritual geography shows us a lot about control. In our day-to-day lives, we have our routines and habits and daily grind. We can go along on automatic pilot for stretches of time. And when we plan those vacations, say we're planning a trip to the beach, we go in anticipation of sunny days and gentle surf, time to sit in the sand, basking in the sun, maybe doing some body surfing or sailing or scuba diving or water skiing, something on or in the water. That's the vacation we plan. The sun's always shining. The temperature is always perfect with low humidity. The breeze is gentle. And we don't plan for those days on end of pouring rain or very windy days when the sand blows everywhere and it's not safe to go in or on the water, or hurricanes that result in evacuations. But these things happen. Life is not like the ads for the Sandals Resorts. I wonder if it ever rains there. The real adventures that we have are great for stories years down the line, but they show how little control we have over how our life flows, kind of like the stream that Tracy spoke of this morning. Like in the past few weeks, I have lost several people from my personal life, too tragically, and another friend entering hospice care. So at this point, the interior landscape of my soul is still in the midst of a great storm. The journey, like that path up the mountain, is not often easy. I'm reminded of this quote by Antonio Machado. He said, "Searcher, there is no road. We make the road by walking." Now, all of what I've said so far is about our individual experience of where the outer world of form and matter meet our inner landscape that profoundly connects us in the vast interdependent web of all existence. But we cannot only journey in solitude, our lonesome selves wandering through our sacred places that nourish and shape us. Solitude is a good thing. I'm a big fan. But solitude only really works inside us when we are also in community and in relationship with others. In our era of electronic connectedness, in our era when we don't have a shared common culture, we splinter into our various interest groups and listen to like minds without that overarching narrative that ties us all together. We can live in our heads, divorced from our hearts. We can live disconnected from this earth to which we owe our very lives. And so many people are fundamentally disconnected from real human connections. It is often said that the unspoken poverty in our culture is a poverty of spirit, a real hunger for what we have forgotten, that not just individual life, but all creation is sacred, that this connection to each other and to the earth always made us feel and know that we are part of the great mystery of creation. How could it be otherwise? And how can we now regain that simple but forgotten element? But I'm preaching to the choir, aren't I? For you are here because you've chosen community. You have chosen a spiritual community and a religious tradition that gives you freedom to clarify your values and people to partner with you as you climb those mountains toward your goals. People who will journey with you in times of joy and in times of despair, the desert places and the deep, dark valleys, that will help you live your best life, finding for yourself what is most high and holy, and to celebrate with you in those mountaintop moments. Our UU faith lifts up for us that vast web of interconnection beyond our individual selves in nature. And it also means being in right relationship with our human connections, which is hard sometimes. It's much easier to go sit in that peaceful woodsy glade by the babbling brook on a perfect day than it is to sit down and have that difficult discussion that you know you need to have with a loved one. But perhaps those moments of peace and solitude can give you what you need to have the discussion. And your soul will grow because you did. How can we feel lonely if our daily life speaks to us of so many connections with the earth and our shared sense of the sacred? Albert Einstein said, 100 times every day, I remind myself that my inner and outer life are based on the labors of others, living and dead, and that I must exert myself in order to give in the same measure as I have received and am still receiving. So let us journey forth in our lives, in the company of our human connections and in the sacredness of the earth. As John O'Donohue said in our reading, the ancient rhythms of the earth have insinuated themselves into the rhythms of the human heart. The earth is not outside us, it is within. It helps us remember who we are and why we are here. Continuing with those words of Billy Collins, we take the vast outside into ourselves. There is no mystery greater than our own mystery, said the great 20th century Unitarian minister A. Powell Davies, who also said, life must have its sacred moments and its holy places. We need the infinite, the limitless, the uttermost, all that can give the heart a deep and strengthening peace. This is what I wish for you. Profound connections with your spiritual places, your sacred places, your spiritual geography where the inner and the outer meet, and a heart filled with that deep and strengthening peace as you forge your journey with love and hope and one another.